Welcome to Flowery Branch, another Monday with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, Dave Archer alongside as well, and we'll get a visit from Ricardo Allen in our player spotlight. We welcome you to the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons fall yesterday to Minnesota, and no time for the rest here, Coach. Right back in it. Tampa Bay comes up on Sunday, and you guys trying to get this thing fixed, right?
Yeah, for sure, and really it comes down to the ball for us, and after 11 games, I didn't think we'd be minus three, but we are, and that's the truth of it. So we're going to get that fixed. Not time to, you know, fix the blame. It's time to fix the problem. So that's what we'll get done.
Dan, really an interesting first year for you when you start talking about the emotional level
sure.
that your team could ride 5-0, and then you lose 5-6. So it's been all the spectrum. How have you – I know you depend on those guys a ton in the locker room. How do you manage the frustration, the highs, the lows in a season like this?
Well, fortunately, and for the fans that know, we've got some terrific guys. And there's some really good leaders. We got about 12 or 13 guys, almost one or two at each position that I meet with regularly.
Yeah.
And I want to get the pulse of the team, the locker room, where we're at, and how we're going to challenge everybody to be at our best each and every week. So we have some things for us to do that we know we have to do better, and otherwise we won't, you know, it's not going to change. So for us, it's the turnovers and creating turnovers, ball hawking on defense and taking care of the ball and making great decisions. That's when we'll be at our best.
You've got one of the most competitive guys I've ever had the pleasure of being around playing quarterback for you. He's had some struggles, made some mistakes, as has some guys around him. How do you get Matt and everybody else playing back that clean football you want
right,
to play?
Right, because there's definitely the edge to him. He's got the gunslinger where it's, you know, I can go fit it in. And I think it's those decisions, making full-speed decisions for everybody. And, all right, I know I can rip this one in here. That's going to be completion. That's going to be a third down completion. That's going to be a touchdown. Nope. All right, we're already in here, whether we got to punt it or we're going to kick a field goal here, managing those decisions. And I know he can do that. He's been a really good player, and we're counting on that from him.
You look at and you mentioned turnovers earlier today in your media comments. We talk about it. We've touched on it here in the last couple of weeks. Is that the singular biggest integer for you in terms – I know you've talked about it in terms of winning. But in this particular situation, is that the number one thing on the list?
It is, and where these are happening, you know, they're in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is it's not the points that are coming off the turnover. It's the points that aren't happening at the end of those drives.
Right.
So it's kind of twofold where, you know, they haven't had a lot of points off the turnover. The defense has done a nice job in some of the sudden changes, but there's not the points at the end of the drives. And so that part, we will get fixed. And when that does happen, now we're finishing, you know, series in the red zone, whether with field goals or touchdowns, and that's what we need to get done.
You mentioned a little bit about I thought that Coleman really ran the ball hard for you. It looked like he had a lot more. He was patient, yet he turned on the accelerator when he needed to. Had the moment where the ball got out, and you talked about the lesson, and sometimes you have to learn them the hard way, don't you?
That is the truth, and that's the hardest one because he's going to be in that situation a bunch. He's got real speed, so there's going to be ones that, you know, what we call the 8-9 plays where they're outside, where when he breaks, you know, there's a backside corner, there's a backside safety who would come as you're trying to make a move on the safety or someone else down the field. So those are the ones, just because you're in the clear doesn't mean there's not somebody right behind you coming. We call that a stack monster, the runner who's coming out of the stack to go get it. Oftentimes you see it on a screen play, you know, where a guy catches it and he's starting to make a move, and here comes the defensive lineman out. So it's no different for a runner.
Dan, what do you do with a guy? Everybody's personality is different, and there's not fragile players that play this game. I mean,
right.
These are tough guys, are tough-minded, had to go through a lot of stuff to get to this level. Yet that confidence can ebb and flow a little bit for a younger player. Tevin's had a couple of moments where the ball's gotten out, but he's had some brilliant moments running the football. Have you had to manage maybe some of the confidence level with him at all?
I think the good part about our team is they're so close that you can check the other guy, and it's not like you're getting them like, I know what you look like at your best.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure the ball's high and tight. And so by another teammate, sometimes that's more powerful, you know, teammate to teammate. And it's been hard lessons for all of us in some of these, you know, where we've had some turnovers that we didn't want in critical spots on the field. But I will say this, as we're getting ready to go again, we're going to challenge like crazy. And I made the reference last year, I played against or coached against a quarterback who was pretty hot at the end of the year.
Mm.
And there was a time in the beginning of the year where this is what it looks like at the end, and they were down and out, and I think they were 2-2 and maybe got rocked by Kansas City.
Yeah,
and
I remember that game.
And I don't compare players.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not comparing Matt to Tom. I don't do that. But what I am saying is, like, sometimes in this game you go through spots that you don't like. Mm-hmm. And the real competitors, the real guys who love to battle, which Matt clearly is, oftentimes that struggle creates an opportunity and you recognize it and you seize it.
When you've been through this with teams before, and it's happened, whether you're the head coach, the coordinator, an assistant, GA, whatever you are, you go through this, maybe as a player at Salisbury State, you go through this, right? I mean, you mentioned something today that I find fascinating, and Dave knows and probably gets tired of me talking about the mental side of this as much as I do, but I find that part, particularly at this level, fascinating.
Yep.
Because you keep talking about the connection of this team, and it's not the connection of the offense or the connection of the mm-hmm. defense. It's the connection of the 53.
Yep, and it's way more powerful from player to player. The coaches and the players are close, but there's a deeper connection that happens with the guys in the locker room, on the field, at practice, in games together, and it's the energy they bring for one another. That's where the special stuff happens. I have been a part of that where, mm-hmm. As an assistant coach, you know, our team was 16-4 and just kind of on the rocks a little bit, and we ended up winning 9 in a row to get to a championship game. And when that moment happens where it's like, enough's enough,
right?
We're going to come together, come hell or high water. That's when some of the magic happens. But you better be a really close team if you're going to have that moment, because otherwise it's just lip service.
There's a lot of good stuff for you going on the other side of the football is too, Dan. And you had your team had one of the chores that nobody really envies. Maybe they do envy the opportunity to take on a guy like Adrian Peterson. The one play broke out at the end, but I know you wanted to kind of keep him in control. The tackles are what bothered you the most.
That's
right?
What it was, the missed tackles. Mm. And so anytime we're in double digit for missed tackles, we know we're not at our best. And so a number of them were on Adrian. So it wasn't like it was a tight end on this one and a receiver on this one. So not all of the 15 were on him, but there was a number. We missed a sack. We missed on a tight end. We missed on a receiver. But a number were on him. So we want to be known as one of the best fundamental teams. That's our tackling, our gap control, our discipline. That's where the explosive plays go away when you have that kind of discipline in your tackling. So there were a lot of good things that happened in the game. But as we get to be at our best, those are the ones we can get better at.
Let me give you a couple guys that have kind of shown themselves a little bit, at least from where we sit and watch the ball games the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Paul Solia and Grady Jarrett. Solia tended to be there right at the start, really kind of be a tempo setter for you in each of the last couple of ball games, particularly as it relates, I guess, to inside run. And then yesterday, Dave and I both noted Grady Jarrett is a very active guy, and the more he plays, the more you tend to notice him. Now, I guess that's a good thing, but what's he done to take it to the next level in his rookie season?
I think it's the discipline that he plays with. He just won't relax a bit in his technique. And Brian's done a great job with him. But if he's going to be a B-gap player, he's staying. He's square. He's in the right spot. And I think what that builds to your teammates is the accountability. Mm. You know, you can trust me. You can count on me to be in the game on the line. I'll get the job done.
I know so often we equate the defensive ends play by putting the quarterback on the ground, and certainly you guys would like to do that, but it certainly looked like Vic had a really active game. I think he's been active a lot this year, but it maybe affected the quarterback as much as we've seen him affect him.
Yeah, I think that's what Brian said. It was one of his best games, and sometimes the stat sheet in terms of the sacks don't show it, but you know, did he affect the quarterback in the game? And that's what he did. So for us to know, they tried to chip him, they tried to do some things that, you know, didn't bother Vic. You know, like, those are things you have to deal with now as an NFL defensive end. That happens way more often. So we thought he really strained and went for it.
I know you measure this thing in wins and losses collectively, but defensively, do you feel like through 11 games you've made some really good progress here?
I think we're really improving. And the things that are most important to me is the turnovers and the explosive plays, mm-hmm. the scoring. So when we keep those things down, the scoring defense is still number one. And then can we create turnovers and then limit them through explosive plays where they have to make – now, sometimes they did. They had to create a third down and make it and go a long drive. But generally, if they have to go the whole way, it's way harder. And so for us to be down in explosive plays is huge.
You've played a lot of people in the back end, and Ricardo Allen's going to join us here in our player spotlight later on in the show. Rico seems to have a little feel for that quarterback, trying to look him off down the seam, made two plays in back-to-back weeks. Have you been impressed with his progression?
I think quietly for the fans, they may not know he maybe has made as much improvement as anybody on our entire defense. He's quiet by nature, and at that position, you're not allowed to be. Just, you know, be like a quarterback who was quiet. And that was one of the analogies I said. I said, what if Matt was really quiet and didn't want to talk a lot? And how would that work? And so he laughed and understood. And I think it's his tackling. You know, when you're the last line of defense as a middle field player and a run breaks out, can that run that goes for 8 yards stay as a 8 yard, 10 yard run? And those two things in specific, the communication and the tackling, I thought that's been a real highlight in his game.
What was it? Now, I'm not saying he's a project of yours, but essentially he was moved to safety and came here originally as a corner. But you guys saw something about him as a safety, and he's flourished
tackling.
There. Tackling?
Yep. As a corner, we thought he was a really good tackler.
Okay.
And we had two really good corners already in Rob and in True.
Right.
And so it was a way to say, all right, could we take a guy to play this middle field spot where he can communicate, play the seams, and be a really good tackler? And he absolutely went for it and said, all right, this is an opportunity for me. It's here, and I'm going for it. And he did.
Philosophically, a big jump for him? I mean, schematically, what
yes.
he's doing?
Yeah, a big jump for him. And so there was a lot of learning moments early on. Ah, like the aha. It's like, okay, that's what you want me to do.
Yeah.
And it kept getting better and better, and he watched lots of tape and kept working at it. And so early on, there were some ones like, this play can't happen to a middle field player, where maybe he might have not known that before. And think of how much you liked the communication when the safety told you something as a corner. Well, now you're the one that has to go do that.
It's amazing how much faster the game is on the chalkboard to when you get on the field. It actually changes a little bit.
Nope, you got that right.
Let's get to the question of the week for Coach Quinn, brought to you by United BMW. Selection, incredible service. It's the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW Gwinnett, Roswell, or online at unitedbmw.com. And, of course, you can submit your question online at 929thegame.com/askthecoach. We may have discussed this. What's the biggest factor in the four straight losses? How do you fix it? And
yeah.
I know it's turnovers. That's the answer, right?
That is the answer. So you're the coach, and you already have got that.
But how do you fix it?
No.
I mean, is it drills? Is it mindset? Is it
well,
a little of everything?
It's a little of everything, because we drill it hard defensively to make sure we're asking our defense to help train our offense in every practice. If the offense is turning it over, the defense should feel at blame. I'm not doing my part to help train them. I'm not going after the ball enough. Defensively, I'm not taking enough shots on the ball. So it's this camaraderie back and forth to say, if the offense, when we're at our best, is like, it's hard to get the ball off them. But defensively, they are training our offense to be at their best by the way we go after it. So it's an entire team thing for our turnover margin. And that's what we have to fix. And it's the amount of turnovers that have took place in the red zone that have killed the drives.
A couple of things. One is, well, Shane Graham. What a kind of a story, interesting in the perseverance and,
yep.
and dealing with his father's passing this past week, signs here, kicks yesterday. I mean, just a lot of things to consider, but he's a pro, and he handled it beautifully.
And I think I was more nervous than he was. And in terms of going in, I said, okay, is this in terms of how, you know, you want it held? And no, however they do it, you know, and just his calmness made that whole transition go really smoothly. He had known Josh and Josh from training out in San Diego together, so they had some familiarity. Some of the offseason, the kickers and the punters and snappers get together, and so those three had happened to work together some during the offseason, just by happenstance,
what
you know, going to kick.
Yeah.
And so when they got together, they knew each other, and so, okay, let's adjust this. I thought he did a great job coming in, and the holder and the snapper as well. We'll adjust to how you want it.
I think it's amazing, Dan. This is the thing that I don't know if the fan cares about it or certainly overlooks it. These guys are human beings, and they all have lives. They all get,
yep.
A lot of them have kids at home, families. They got families just like the guy that's driving home from work right now or whatever it is. And they're having to manage that and still – and just like someone that goes to work as well, managing their job. But I think we discount the fact that, okay, they're pro football players. They don't have anything else going on.
Yeah, the human side of it, yeah, where he's been through something as hard as it could be for him to know,
yeah,
I can handle this challenge. I've already gone through something that was pretty hard on me.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think it gets overlooked so much. Hey, I want to ask you about some plays. A lot of times we don't talk about specific plays, and we wrote down some plays here that we thought were kind of critical in the game and maybe why something potentially happened.
Okay.
Dez was called for pass interference down on the goal line, and probably a legitimate call, was he a little surprised by the route? Was that a route that he had not seen before?
I don't think he was surprised. It was one that we had, you know, hit up before, and I thought he played it well and just happened to have too much anticipation too early. And so on those ones – there was one on the sideline where we had a nice PBU earlier. We said, okay, now we want you to go pick it.
Jalen Collins has a very similar situation. They run a sail route to his side. They're the go with the sail.
Yep.
He's in perfect position and almost maybe Tevin learning about taking care of the football, he was so quick to the ball, he got there too early, right?
And part of the reason he's here is he has really good ball skills.
Yeah.
So in that spot for him to go through a player as opposed to up and then take the ball, that was what was most surprising to us. Like, where did that come from? And those lessons, which are hard for us, that we're learning, we hope they don't repeat.
Right.
But, you know, as you're going through it, like, okay, it was an easy route for him to understand what the concept was. A three-level route. Here's one to the flat. Here's the one that's high. I got to go get it. And when it didn't, it was like, man, that was one he could have had.
Okay, you got the run play. Teron scores.
Yep.
Moyaki gets called for the clip on the backside. Right on the edge of whether yay or nay. And I know you want a little bit more clarification so
yep.
you can teach your players. But another one of those hard kind of learning moments.
Yeah, and that was the one where it was, all right, that was a touchdown. And then on the penalty, it goes back. And when those ones happen, man, the calls change.
Yeah.
And he was being really aggressive to go finish. It was a really good block by Pat DeMarco. And Pat, as a fullback, I mean, he has had some terrific blocks this year, and there were some more in this last game.
You get another moment where Teron runs to the sideline, goes out of bounds, and I don't think it was necessarily flagrant, but he certainly shoved the guy with his foot.
Yep.
And you, I think you mentioned in your comments, in your press conference, loss of poise maybe a little bit.
Yep, and in that spot, out of bounds, there's no need for that. Just whether it was as non-meaningful as a push-off or get away from me as it could be, never do we lose our poise. And for him, he's somebody that we hold in such high regard as a guy who totally takes care of his business. So it was very much out of character for him to have a penalty like that.
Then the last one I want to ask you about was Tevin runs the wheel. You got it set up perfectly. It's a great call by Kyle. You get Tevin down the sideline, and the ball's on the money, and maybe just hadn't been in that position enough to make that play with a defender coming in.
And it was funny. We did that exact play in practice and ran the wheel. Same one, went up to catch it. And so we all kind of had a sense of how the outcome would be based on how we practiced it. And in that spot, go aggressively catch it.
Yeah.
And it kind of went and then took the ball with him a little bit. That's a good time for him to go up, aggressively catch it, come down with it, and complete the catch.
Well, the reason I mention, you know, and go through some plays like that is we get so caught up in one or two plays in a game, and
right.
a lot of times it's because of what the quarterback's done, that we forget there's probably 10 or 12 other plays
no
that
doubt.
Had some bearing on what whether you get points or don't get points. And that was just a few of them that
yeah.
kind of stuck out.
I think you have a sense as a cube, when we all play well around you,
yeah.
that makes your job really easy too. And so I want to make sure that message comes through really clear, like all of us can do a better job, you know, around the team to
yeah.
say, when my play comes, I'm going to make it. That might be defensively. As a safety, I might have two or three plays in this game I got to make. You talked about the one to Collins as a corner. Like, I need to make that play for the team. Or the one for True to pick it off, or the missed tackle that happened, or the catch up on the railroad,
on the wheel, right?
On
yeah,
the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
So as those ones come up, there may be two or three for you to make, Wes, two for you to make, two or three for me to make.
Mm-hmm.
And when that time comes, I got to answer. And those are the ones that we need to get done.
I thought one of the things early in the ball game that we could touch on as it relates to where you're going with this is you guys had to play from behind yesterday almost at the jump. One of the things happened was time of possession.
Yep.
It was like 10 minutes and 3 seconds after the first period of play. Yet you still found ways. It was, until you had those turnovers, red zone situations, second half situations, there were elements. You played from behind most of the day, yet it was not a getaway situation. This
no.
team scrapped. It
yep.
battled. It showed you some things.
I really
bit.
Thought it would be a 17, 13, 21, 7, you know, one You're of
right.
those kind of games. Just I thought they're two really tough outfits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play just really good technique, both the defenses, to be in, you know, exactly the game that you want. So when it kind of went down, it was going to head down that way,
yeah.
and then the turnover kind of, you know, derailed us to where we didn't create enough, and they did. So, like, I think it's also easy to say, well, they had three and we had one. Well, the other way, if we had – gotten three,
right.
you know, maybe that goes a little bit
absolutely.
Too. So I don't want to make it just where it's one side
sure.
about it's our turnover
no.
marching,
yeah.
not just the turnovers.
Yeah.
You've got so many players that are here on Monday and Tuesday that just are eating, breathing, and sleeping football and spending time on tape, getting ready to go, weight room, all that kind of stuff. Do you have any players that kind of poke their head into game plan room, kind of see what you're doing the first couple of days of the week?
I think the biggest thing is those guys watch together. And so when we – you know who has, because we say, all right, they'll come up and say, did you see the play on 3rd and 2?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
you know,
okay.
Before the meeting started, did you see the crease route? Yeah. Yes, I saw that. So those are the
that.
Ones, you know, when they're getting together as an entire group of linebackers on a Tuesday or an entire group of receivers. So those are generally the times.
Well, you get Tampa, and this is the first of the repeat games in the division.
Right.
How much do you take from the first game? Because there's been a little bit of time. Now, you're going to play Carolina twice in 3 weeks. That's a whole different dynamic. But in this particular situation, how much do you pull from that first meeting to make it applicable?
I think quite
a bit,
only because now you see the matchups that you're going to see. And then they're not always going to – no one plays exactly the same way in every scenario. Like, of course you change up some things. But it is easy to see, okay, who you're playing against, the player you're playing against. So those are the things, I think, from a player – you know, it's very valuable. I know exactly how that guy likes to play this technique, press coverage, bull rush, whatever it might be, because he's done it to me specifically before.
Well, and along with that, Dan, you just played Indianapolis.
Yep.
So you have a pretty good feel for what that roster looks like and how they're playing at this level. Week one might be completely different, but 2 weeks ago, maybe there's some similarities, and now Tampa's coming off a game where they just lost to a Colt team. So maybe
I think it's great by the league where some of the divisional games are towards the end of the year, and I think it really creates some matchups that you know about. You can expect some really good games, and that's what we expect, you know, heading in this weekend.
I know you touched on it in your comments with the media earlier today. The hope is that Devontae is go on Wednesday?
Yep, and that's what we're anticipating. So I believe he was cleared by the, you know, independent docs, and they do a really good job of going through the guys through the, you know, concussion protocol.
Sure.
And so he went through all the steps, and then we'll take it into the week and get him ready. But, yeah, he's chomping at the bit to get going.
I think one of your acquisitions, you and Thomas do such a good job of getting together with in-season acquisitions, I think, that get overlooked. Phillip Wheeler has come in here and really contributed. I think he led you in tackles yesterday. I know Durant went down with, I think, an ankle or something like that. And have you been pleased with the way he's been able to grasp what you want to do?
I think you guys and the fans know, too, like how hard that can be to come in practice when you don't have any reps. Not just the fact that he's been here, you know, a shorter time, but the fact that in practice that week, you know, Durant had, you know, most of the turns. So for him to come in and perform like he did, we have lots of trust and faith in him.
It's an evolving situation here. Anything more that you're finding out about this team as you go through this tough patch? And I know we talk about the mental side of it, but
I guess the thing I found out the most is when you go through a tough time, there's no turning your back or pointing a finger, and the way you get out of it is together. And so that part you could see from the team in our team meeting today, you know, how hard they want to work for one another. And so that part I know is on point, and I didn't expect us to be -3 in the turnover ratio 11 games in, but we are. That's the truth of it. So you know, to say otherwise is incorrect. So it's about us fixing that problem, and that's what we're going to do.
You've talked about how good you're keeping your head down and making sure you're taking care of the task ahead. I think your team obviously is mirroring what you're talking about. Is it tough this time of year to kind of keep that head down, especially as a player? You got to kind of remind them, because there's so many people are talking about playoff scenarios and all that kind of stuff.
And I think we want to make sure that, like, no one has to do our expectations outside the building for us, just like we're not asking someone, another team, to help get us ready. It's the guys that are inside the room that we're the ones that get us ready, and we're the ones that we have to answer to, you know, to one another, not to, you know, to a media site or to, you know, anyone else, but that real accountability to one another. That's where it comes first.
I heard you asked about this in the media. You're Kobe Bryant guy, huh?
Yes, very much so.
Where'd that come from? Philadelphia guy? Well, Kobe's from Philly.
No, it was more when he became a Laker. And I mean, saying just the play that he had. And
sure.
I loved the, like, all right, I'm a scorer, and you're going to have to stop me anyway. And it was, I think, that mindset that he brings to the game. I like his mindfulness. I like where he allowed himself to improve as a player due to that. And so I've studied Phil Jackson a lot, and then knowing the history that they had together. So although I don't know him, he's somebody I look forward to meeting, because I appreciate his style and attitude, and he went for it in the very biggest way.
That's cool.
No question.
Thanks for the time. Good luck Sunday.
Thanks, guys.
We just spent a good bit of our visit with Coach Quinn talking about your transition since he came here from corner to safety. What's that been like? I mean, it sounds like it was a bit of a project and a lot of learning both in the classroom and on the practice field, huh?
Yeah, it was a big transition. I didn't really, you know, play too much free safety my whole life. I played it a little bit at, you know, Purdue, but that was only to be a stopper against Denard Robinson. But, you know, just playing a free middle third safety, I never really played that. But I just went off to coaching, you know. If you don't really know anything, the best thing you can do is learn, be open to learn, and just, you know, follow where they're taking you.
Rico, I think anybody that watched Hard Knocks last year, you were part of it with then your girlfriend, now your wife. But They showed how aggressive you were at the corner spot. You had a couple of big hits on the show. You jamming at the line of scrimmage. How much did you have to maybe get some of that out of you to play free safety and not want to come down and jack somebody up?
Man, that was actually like the toughest thing as a safety. My first couple of times at practice, I think they just wanted to see me, you know, run and see what I can do. And they didn't really slow me down at first. But then, you know, you start to notice that you don't really have nobody to save you. If you're the guy running down trying to make the tackle in the backfield and the ball was to bust, you're the guy that's supposed to stop the play. And, you know, the biggest thing at free safety is you can see a lot. You can see a lot of people open, but that's what the quarterbacks and the offensive coordinators on the other side want you to see. So if you see a lot, they're trying to set you up for something. So I had to get better at, you know, looking past things and just keep reading off the quarterback.
I think one of the more interesting stories for you is you spent the entire campaign on the practice squad last year. It's a different route than a conventional thought coming out of college, being drafted, that kind of thing. How much did you learn, Ricardo? What did it mean to you then? What's it mean to you now as you find yourself starting with three picks in the NFL?
Man, I think that probably was the best thing that could have happened to me last year. You know, when it happened, you're like, man, why did this happen to me? I think I'm better than some people on this team. I know I can go out there and help somewhere on special teams. You know, I can be somewhere. And then you realize that, you know, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you and that you maybe need some growing to do. And I took it as, you know, a challenge to, you know, come and try to guard Julio every day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I'm going to be a corner, why not go against, you know, the best wide receiver, I think, in this era? So I was like, I'm going to guard this guy every day. I'm going to try to give him my all. I didn't get too many pass breakups or get close to the ball because he's really good, but he taught me how to come and practice every day. He taught me how to focus on, you know, the little details and, you know, not really watching them, just going against them. Every day in practice, he pushes it to the top limit, you know. Just being last year, just being able to watch what people are successful at and what also helps people fail. And I know one of the biggest things was focusing on the little details. The little details, that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people, the greats, do.
It's interesting you say that because we had another second-year guy sitting in that seat about, probably 6 weeks ago named Devontae Freeman. And he said almost the same thing you just said about watching your peers, learning from the guys how to practice, challenging them, not allowing that to affect your confidence, realizing they're maybe a step or two ahead of you, but that's where you want to be. I think that really says a lot about you. Ricardo Allen with us here on the Player Spotlight here on the Dan Quinn Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Okay, Ricardo, tell me about this, your ability to kind of not be swayed by quarterback's eyes, because we're taught we can move the free safety now. I can pump fake and I can get you over. You've had a veteran player that's played since Moses came down off the mountain and Hasselbeck, and yesterday you had a young guy in Teddy Bridgewater try to do the same thing to you, and you got both of them. What's going on?
It comes with a lot of hours of film study, and you start to notice, like you just watch over and over. You start to notice what they're really trying to do to you, what they're doing before the play, what they're doing, you know, once the play starts. Like, is he really giving you a look? Because he usually will look you away from his first read, you know. Is he going to look to you and pump that way? That's a false one every time. If he looks at his read, pump you that way, don't ever go for it because he's coming back for something else. And, you know, I kind of felt the tight end coming up the scene, so I'm like, he's really, like, he stared it down, pumped it, and then came back to it. I was like, yeah, he's trying to get me. With the Hasselbeck one, it was more of a, you know, a trial and error. They happened to get me almost on that route a little bit earlier in the year, and it was the same formation. They ended up getting us in a different coverage, and they ended up throwing a touchdown backside on one of my corners, and I wasn't, you know, there to help them. And I'm like that won't happen on my watch again. Like, he stared me down the whole time, and he even tried to, you know, come back, and he actually threw it blind. Because I jumped it before, you know, Hasselbeck even, you know, threw it. I actually jumped the route before he even threw it. And, you know, it was there. So the coaching for me must be, you know, the coach against me. A lot of people think, like, I'm going off a lot of looks. And, you know, I started to watch myself and see that I was actually letting a lot of quarterbacks influence me. And what could I do to try to transition and start to change it up on them and actually make it a chess game with me and them.
Nice.
Is it crazy to think that playing middle safety now is easier in part because you learned to play corner first and you had a lot of success playing corner?
Yeah.
I mean, does it really help a lot more now that you're back there and you kind of – you can, and not to take away corners only seeing a third of the field, but realistically, you're seeing the whole field now from where you are, right?
Yeah. The hardest thing for me as being a corner was being a smart corner.
Okay.
And, you know, it was knowing a lot because you can see so much. You know, I was good at, you know, seeing what routes were starting to develop and, like, what's going on. But sometimes as a smart corner, you see too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you see something, and then they might hit you with a double move or something like that. As a safety, you know, it's good to be smart. It's good to, you know, overstudy. It's good to know the splits and the tendencies of what people are doing because you can go make those plays. You know, you can go help people out. You can alert other people to it. You can, you know, you can get everybody set. You know, as a corner, you know, it's a lot of now. You're like, it's a lot of combat fighting. You got to be, you know, I actually did a couple man-to-mans, you know, a couple of weeks ago. They had me doing some man-to-man on some tight ends here and there. And that's a different grind. Like, you have to be in shape. Like, your ankles got to be, you know, ready for it. You got to always be ready to break and, you know, be on somebody. But as a free safety, you really, like, you just playing a game. You know, you're keeping your own tempo, and you're going to get the ball.
Falcon safety Ricardo Allen with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan was just talking about communication, and that's not something that necessarily was innate to you. You're more of a quiet guy, want to do your job, and now you're quarterback in the secondary, maybe even the team. I saw you down in the box a couple times trying to move linebackers over and doing all sorts of stuff. How much of an adjustment has that been for you to really start barking out signals?
You know, at first I was really quiet. I really didn't say anything because I didn't want to, you know, get anybody, you know, put in the wrong spot. Maybe I say the wrong thing. Maybe I give them like, hey, watch for this, and, you know, this play happens. You're like, oh, man, I just sent them to the wrong spot. Maybe maybe that's why, you know, they didn't go for this route or something. But, you know, Coach Quinn came in there, he's like, he gave me an example of, you know, when you alert your kid, you know, like, look both ways before you cross the street. If it's not any cars there, you know, you didn't steer them the wrong way. You just gave them the alert. So that's the thing. He just said, you know, just be confident because they can – I mean, the coaches notice that I see a lot of things, and they can tell that I saw a lot of routes. So it was like, why not take your knowledge and pass it along to the others? Because, you know, that'll make us a better defense. You know, that'll make us much better. And, you know, he said it just came with practice. I met with him a couple of times and we talked about it. And, you know, I just started going with it, and I realized that, you know, my teammates believe in me. They know I study a lot of film, and I've just been going with it.
Okay, with all the work you're putting in, how frustrating has this last month been now? You guys have struggled to offense has struggled to get out of its own way, turning the football over. I know you guys haven't made the stops when you wanted to a certain amount of time. How frustrating has this been building up in the locker room?
Man, nobody likes losing. You know, we're sore losers. I know we don't like it. We don't like it at all as a team. You know, we work too hard. We go out there and we practice so hard. We go over everything. You know, we work together as a team. Like, we go hard. Like, we know what we can do. We just got to go do it, you know. We don't necessarily, like, as me as a defensive, I don't know what goes on the offensive side. And, you know, I care as a teammate, but I really don't care. As a defensive player, we have to stop. You know, we have to stop them. We got to get off the field. It's our job to get the ball back to them as many times as they need it. And that's where we got to take, you know, more in our hands of stopping them. You know, getting off on those third downs where we need to get the ball out when we have a chance to, you know, going for the ball more and, you know, giving our offense better field position than, you know, having them all the way back up on the 20s or starting on the 30s all the time. Let's get them some times, you know, in the red zone. Let's help them out. And, you know, we don't point our fingers. We look at ourselves. And that's what this team is going to be great at because we take everything and we challenge ourselves.
There's a whole vibe about Dan Quinn, fast and physical, hit and run, all the things that the public's heard of. But I get the impression there's an inside vibe about this deal too. What's that inside vibe? What is it that this guy's brought to the table that has put everybody, even in a tough spot like this, Ricardo, everybody still is really locked in here, and particularly the players. And Dave will tell you, from playing as many years as he did, that's not oftentimes very easy to do. It's rare that even in tough patches – you get guys as connected as y'all are.
Yeah, you know, he brought in the philosophy of competing, and that's all we do. We compete every day, you know, all day, every day. And, you know, when you have a coach like that who believes in you.
Right.
And, you know, they don't go with the vibe of, you know, they don't really show too many negative plays. You know, every game comes with negative plays. You don't go into too many meetings and they're like, oh, look at this. You know, you did this wrong. You did this. They show you the pictures of you doing it right. And that's the difference. I've been around a lot of coaching staffs who, you don't do it this way. We don't do it this way. But this coaching staff, they show you the picture of the way to do it right because you've done it before. You put it on film before. So why not just do that on a consistent basis? Why not run and hit like you did? Why not make the same fit? Because most of the teams who come and play against us, we run the same defense because we know exactly what people are going to run against us. So we've already seen it before. Why
right.
not make the same fit, make the same hit, get the guy on the ground, and make the plays we've done before?
All right, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. I want to take you to college real quickly. Playoff coming up, Big Ten Championship, Iowa and Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You're a Purdue guy, Big Ten guy. Do you pull for the Big Ten when they play other people? And is there a team that you dislike so much you don't want them to win in the Big Ten?
Well, Indiana's got to be there somewhere.
Yeah, I don't like Indiana.
How do you? I was getting ready to wonder, how do you and Coleman get along?
We're good. We're teammates.
Okay.
We're teammates.
Yeah, you discarded that.
We still.
All right, who wins the Big Ten championship then? Michigan State or Iowa?
I like Michigan State.
Okay.
Michigan State always seems to show up in big games. They always seem to show up in big games, and that defense is really well. You know, I don't take anything away from Iowa because you don't just go through a season undefeated.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't just happen to pop
right,
in there.
Right.
But
right.
Michigan State, I used to always go against them. Every time I went against them, they proved me wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take my chances and go with them this
okay,
time.
Okay, you're gonna saddle it up with the Spartans.
I'm
okay.
kind of more fascinated how the Coleman-Allen relationship has gone here in the last.
He said his teammates.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it's all good.
Everything's good?
Yep.
Including a week ago, it was all right?
Yep.
All right, that's good.
He talked a little mess because they went to a bowl game. You know, they went to a bowl game on our watch, but it's all good.
Tampa for a second time on Sunday. Mm-hmm. What do you take from that first game? I know you're disappointed in the way it ended,
yeah.
but what do you take from it in terms of the preparation and then what transpired on the field? How handy is it this week?
I think, we went down to the wire with them. We didn't play our best game, and we went down to the wire with them. I think we just got to come out there, and we got to start, you know, start fast and finish fast. Just go out there and do what we do. And I think every game we go into, we treat it like a championship week, and we treat this one like a championship week. And we take it every game. And let's get, you know, this wagon going back up like we were.
What were your impressions of, real quickly, your impressions of Teddy Bridgewater in that first game? Played okay. Did some decent stuff. You guys made some plays against him. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of him?
Oh, I like his poise. I like the way he, you know, he's commanding that offense now, how, you know, he's getting out there. You know, he's going through his read. If his read's not there, he's actually been really smart with the ball. I just like the way he's starting to run that offense. You know, he's making real good checks. He's making the linebacker checks. I was really impressed when he was picking up some of our blitzes. Hmm. So you can tell that he's smarter than most people actually think he is. He actually was, you know, reading the coverages and reading our rotations. And there's not a lot of people who picked up our rotations. And he was one of the quarterbacks who actually did and knew when we were blitzing.
All right, let me go to the guy you're going to get this weekend. Then now here's a guy in his first year. You got a guy in his second year this last game. Now you got a guy in his first year you've seen once. What do you think of Jameis Winston?
I think he's developed a lot since earlier in the years. You know, mm-hmm. earlier in the year he was making some plays that he didn't really want to, you know, and now he's starting to calm down. He's starting to really get out there and using all his weapons. You know, he's using his running backs really good. He's not just trying to force the ball to the big wide receiver he has. He's actually giving the ball to everybody. He's passing it to his tight ends. He's giving it to his running backs. He's giving it to his other options. You know, he's even throwing it to the fourth receiver that's coming in. So he's not just, staring down one person and trying to force the ball into him. He's actually trying to use his whole team.
Cool.
Thanks for the time, Ricardo. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Right.
Keep balling out, man.
There you go. Ricardo Allen joining us in the Player Spotlight. Another edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show from Flowery Branch in the books. Stay tuned. More Dukes and Bell next on 92.9 The Game.